Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, my co-host Tracy Mahan. Woohoo! Being our crazy selves, and it's apparently we're going to go down in history as being crazy. So you'll see more as we continue.
So, we are the new normal. We're the new normal. Just get used to it, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are.
Oh, are you guys lucky?
Well, that's right. I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky.
Oh my God. I do have to say, though, I ran out of chocolate. That's all I'm going to say. I ran out of chocolate.
Wait a minute. Okay. Tracy's been sending me pictures of all the chocolate she's been receiving. And now you ran out?
I did, but it's because I shared it.
Oh, okay.
So it's not that I...
She says.
Anyway, I do want to thank everyone that sent the chocolate. That was fun, and it made I love the people that watch our show. They're so good to me in particular. Me.
Yes, and they take care of you because you're so spoiled.
I am. Yeah, as Elizabeth would say, I have princess toes.
Oh, okay. Princess toes. All right.
And that's a whole reading of the feet. If you're the second toe in from the big toe, if it's a little bit longer, it's a princess toe or something like that.
Oh, then I have princess toes.
Yeah. So it means people like to do things for you.
I thought it just meant you were independent and wanted to rule the roost.
Amber's like holding her foot up going, what do I got? All right, I got to share the show to all the pages, so I'm going to let you talk.
Okay. All right. Well, then on that note, I would like to bring Tamara in because that's the whole purpose of our show tonight. We were discussing about, you know, there's so many things being talked about the 21st coming up. And so we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could have Tamara on the show to maybe give us some astrological insight? And so Tamara agreed, and we're so lucky that you did.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful. So Tamara, okay, I'm going to butcher your last name, but is it, I don't know why I have such a block with it. McGillivray.
McGillivray, yes.
McGillivray, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. You got it. Okay.
Tamara, astrological expert.
Well, thank you.
Yes. And so let's just start with, I know you've been on before. What's the most important thing for us to know right now that we can go into, like, or however you want to present it, but what we need to know for coming up? Is there something happening on the 21st? I guess that would be the first question. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, there's two websites if anyone really wants to go out, and because this is what you want to do. You want to get out into the night sky. Hopefully the skies are going to be clear so that we can see the actual event. That's what's so special about this event is that it is physical.
There's an event happening?
Yes, there's an event happening. two of the big planets are actually conjoining together. And this particular joining hasn't happened for 800 years. Now, astrologically, these two planets actually do go around and meet each other once every 20 years. But what's so special is that they are actually by declination in the night sky also joining together. So, you know, we have all these signs on the chart, you know, and the planets move through all these signs, you know, constantly. They're moving around and around this chart, this astrological chart. In fact, this is what it looks like. So that's the astrological chart. And these signs do hit these degrees, and it's going to be in Aquarius, but they don't do it in this special way by declination, which means that in the night sky, and according to the tilt of the earth as it looks up, they look like they have joined together, and it's going to be a really bright light. You're going to be able to see it's a star. In fact, that was what they believed that the Bethlehem star was. So the star that guided the three wise men to Jesus, it's the same type of star. Okay. So that's why it's so special. That's kind of the start of it, is that if you've got clear skies, I want you to get out there and actually look at it. You're going to go out right around sunset when the sun just starts to set. You're going to look at the southwest and you're going to see this bright star. And if you're not sure if you're looking at the right thing, you can go on to NASA. They have lots of information on it, and earthsky.org, which is a little website that I follow all the time, and they have a little bit of astrology and a little bit of astronomy, because that's what this is about. It's about the astrology, which is looking at the symbols, looking at the symbology and interpreting that, and the astronomy, looking outside and actually seeing it in the night sky. So it's pretty exciting, actually.
Wow. Very exciting.
You
compared to like the star of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, like you said, 800 years. What happened 800 years ago? Do you know?
Actually, I did. I was looking at some of the dates. And one of the things that did happen was Genghis Khan died that year. And, you know, he was an incredible tyrant. He conquered almost all of the world. You know, that's what he's kind of known for.
Right.
And so that is, you know, he died. So I guess that was pretty significant. It is hard to really, there was so many things that happened, but it's kind of like our world. When you think of a whole year, all of the things that happen in a year, the world didn't fall apart, right? The world didn't explode. That's one thing I want you guys to know.
I'm sure some people may feel like it did, but that's the reality. It did not.
It's still
here. It maybe changed a lot.
And that's what I think that that we can see from this. And I'll talk about why I think we're going to see some huge changes coming up because of the astrology, the symbology that we can look at with this. But yeah, I what I do want to take out of it is the fear. There's a lot of things that have happened, not necessarily because of this event. You know, it was the event I talked about last year. That was the big event, you know, that the big conjunction of the three planets, the for those astrologers, it was Pluto, Jupiter, and Saturn. In Capricorn.
Set up this whole year. I mean, you know,
that's what set up this whole year.
I was telling Tracy, the thing I remember you saying was like, get your ducks in a row, get everything, minimize what you can, get everything cleaned up. And that's what I really remember from that.
You know, as an astrologer, you never want to like predict something like, and, you know, there may have been a handful of astrologers that thought about the plague because, I mean, it is a plague. It is a virus because it did mimic the Black Plague, which, you know, they lost a third of the population during that time period.
Wow.
So, but, you know, as astrologers, we don't really want to go down that, you know, rabbit hole without seeing, you know, some of the things that are full unfolding. And one of the things that many astrologers, including myself, saw was the financial difficulty. And that's not over. You know, we're still going to be struggling with that. But there's so many other things that we're struggling with this year as well. I think that this is a little bit of hope. I think it brings a little bit of hope. And there's a few reasons why I think that. So what is happening is, you know, that great conjunction of the three planets met in Capricorn, which is a really hard, down-to-earth, realistic. You know, those of you who know anything with the word Capricorn, everybody's like, yeah, I know that side. Yeah, that troublemaker. That troublemaker. For sure.
So
you know, it's ruled by Saturn. You know, it's a very tangible sign, a very serious sign, and a very rule oriented sign. They love to have, you know, rules, and this is the way everything needs to get done. And what's happening is part of this this conjunction that's happening on the winter solstice is that Jupiter and Saturn, they're on that beautiful declination I was talking about, which makes it special. It's going to light up, you know, it's going to actually, you're going to be able to see it. If you have, you know, a small telescope. It's not going to have, you don't even have to have a really big one. You are going to be able to see it with your naked eye. You're going to be able to see it. But also, if you have a little bit of a telescope, you'll be able to see some, maybe even some of the Jupiter's moons. So it really is going to light up in the sky. But it's going to be moving to Aquarius. So all those planets have been hanging around in Capricorn. Now they're going to move into Aquarius. It's going to be a 0 degree. And for those of you who don't know what that means that it's like the Fool card, where you kind of just have to step off. You know, you're like, you're just stepping off into, you haven't done it before. You're not sure what you, where you're going or what you're doing, but you know you need to move forward. And that's what that 0 degree kind of brings us. It's like unsurety, but at the same time, we know we need to reconfigure. We need to reassess and figure out how to move forward. And that's to me, in a very big way, is what this conjunction is going to help us with. The sun is actually always also at a 0 degree, but it's going to be 0 degree Capricorn. So we still have that Capricorn energy. But this grand or great conjunction is in Aquarius. So we can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, does that have anything to do with what they've always been saying, the age of Aquarius? Is any of this really?
Well, no, not in the true sense of we haven't moved into that yet, or nobody really knows. In actual fact, the dates are unknown as to, have we moved there? Are we moving there? We know we feel like we're there sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we're not.
We're far away.
Sometimes we feel like we're not. Yeah, straddling the fence. That's exactly what we're doing. But it does have that feel. Aquarius is a very intellectual sign. It's a social sign. It's ingenuity. So these are things that we need. This really is the sign of us moving forward. We need ingenuity. We need new rules. You know, this is a whole, we have to let go of the old rules, what we were following. And in order to function as a society, as a community, as a world community, we need to make new rules. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And sometimes the best way to do that is you have to kind of just, you know, chaos kind of creates where you can leave one and go to another rather than just go, wait a minute, this is working fine. Why do I need to do anything? You won't step away from what seems okay. You kind of have to have turmoil and then you start reassessing and then go, okay, let's do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything's going to be reassessed from the world economy. I think that we're going to see some breakthroughs in not only technology, but I think medically. Mm. I think that this is pushing us, you know, to figure out a new way to handle this. Because, you know, the thought is that this isn't going to be the only time we deal with this. This is just the first time we've dealt with it as a world community. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had smaller portions of this happen in the past, but it didn't sort of affect the world the way this one did. So we have to move forward as a world community. And, you know, we're going to have to reconfigure, look at how we're dealing with things medically, and not just as one country, but, you know, everyone has been working on a cure for this, right? So that's what they're looking for. Mm. You know, we've been, so the other thing about this whole shift is it's not just this one time thing. And that's the other thing is that I don't want people to have fear about that day. Like, oh my God, you know, something's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen on that day. I'm going to say nothing is going to happen on that day in that sense. But it's an unfolding. It's like, you know, a shift or a switch is flicked and we start to move forward in a different way. We've been doing the Earth conjunction. So Jupiter and Saturn meet every 20 years. They've been doing it in Earth signs. That's very tangible. It's very manifesting. So the other shift is the next 200 years. So it's, that's been happening for 200 years. Mm-hmm. So the next 200 years is going to be in air signs.
Wow. Okay.
So you if you think about.
That's exciting that we're alive right now to experience both.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we are. As human beings, we get to experience. We saw what we did in the earth.
Yeah. Now
we're going to see what we're going to do in the air. Yeah, yeah. And it is about breathing. Air quality is a concern. You know, we have to make sure that we protect our resources. And this is part of that reset. It's almost like that reset. Economies are going to have to reset. The earth has reset itself, you know, so this really truly is a reset button, and it's going to continue on for the next 200 years of these meetings of Jupiter and Saturn conjoining. And so just using those words sometimes is like, so what does that mean, Jupiter and Saturn, you know, how is that symbolically affecting us? So Saturn is a planet of boundaries. It's a planet of how we organize ourselves. So we look to our Saturn in our chart to see what kind of organization skills we have. It's a planet of fear as well. And it's a very tangible, it's energy in its manifest, you know, it manifested on Earth. That is Saturn. Jupiter is about growth. Now, both of these planets have skilled and unskilled behaviors. So sometimes growing is not a good thing. You know, you can just keep growing bigger. It's like, oh no, stop. I don't want to, you know, grow any larger.
All that chocolate I've been eating. Yeah.
Exactly. A little bit of growth might occur.
Growth of girth.
Exactly. And it's a planet of wisdom, of opportunity. So these two planets are coming together to share energy and to help us make some new rules in Aquarius. It's going to help us grow, you know, evolve. But we do have to be skilled. And, you know, being unskilled means we go into fear.
Right.
And we listen to everything everyone says. I think one of the things that I was looking at in the chart is data overload. I think everybody right now is so saturated with information that they're going to have to also figure out what is the truth. And we just had an eclipse about a week ago.
Right.
And that eclipse was in Gemini Sagittarius. And that is about data, but it's also about sifting through the data to find the truth. And those eclipses they happen twice a year. They give us kind of like an overview of things happening. So it's kind of like we've got this sort of setup. You know, we've had the hard, the three, you know, in Capricorn, Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn, you know, bouncing around, conjuncting each other, you know, vying for some power, and all the things that have come out from that we've seen, not only politically, but, you know, just even on a community level, we've seen a lot of things come out from that. Then we had the eclipse to say, listen, we've got some data overload here. I think one of the things that's really important is, you know, developing that truth meter. You know, people have to listen. Their body will tell them if it's true, but you have to listen to your body in order to get the truth, or to understand that it's the truth, or to know that you need to listen to this, that it's important. So I think that is one thing as we move forward here with this Aquarian energy, is that we need to really have that truth meter on, you know, on high, because you know, all the data overload and Facebook telling you this and emails coming in from that and a post here and this post here. And like, who do you believe? And then, of course, the government telling you this and the doctors telling you that. And, you know, it's all about finding your own truth. I really think also about community. So finding community of like-minded people so that you can together come up with solutions. This is a very, you know, it's not just about North America. It's a world situation. And, you know, the great thing about what we're on right now is it brings people together from all over the world. Finding other like-minded people, sharing ideas. That's what another Aquarian thing is, you know, about ideas, innovations. So I think all of those things are going to be showing up for us, and they're going to slowly unfold. It's not all going to happen on Monday. You know, we're not going to have all those. We might have some ideas.
Well, that was a great segue. Can we, Tracy, do we have anybody on, you know, usually they'll come in and they'll tell where they're from when they start coming into the.
So we want locations. We've got quite a few from California in here. So we're lighting up California today. I love that.
Okay.
So we've got Utah. We've got California. We've got California. Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And then somebody's noticing, Tamara, your screen, I don't know if you're noticing it on your end, but it is so cool. You'll be talking and it'll turn like almost like a fuchsia and then a green, and then it turns colors. It's like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
South Carolina, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, everybody's chiming in now, British Columbia, Canada.
Nice.
Yeah. So we've got everywhere, Texas, Portland, Oregon. Hey! Shout out to you. Okay. Pennsylvania, Denmark. So yeah, all over the place. Everybody's there. And I know Judy was here with Australia. She's always in there too. Wyoming, New Jersey, England. All right. Las Vegas. Yeah. So we've got a lot of different areas, and everybody's going to get this energy. Now, how does that work when we're all in different time zones? So this energy, the planetary
climate, no matter where you are.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, yeah, it's just sunset wherever you are, when it's just going to light it up for you. So yes, the conjunction does happen at a particular time. This actually does happen at night. This, the big, you know, sort of that big, because I was on the NASA site and they said that I think the last one was during the day or something, and this one's at night. So we're, you know, going to be able to get a good view of this. I really feel that standing outside and feeling that energy is important. I think that's an important part of it. Like, let's re-energize ourselves. I mean, you know, we've kind of been all stuck away and, you know, hiding in our little cocoons and not getting a lot of, you know, I mean, sharing obviously energy when we can. But I think what a wonderful thing. All of us will be standing outside. Hopefully the night will be clear. If it's not, I'm still going to be out there. And yeah.
Yeah, and a good thing either way.
Yeah. And just share, just get out there and like let that revitalize your body in thought. You know, Aquarius is air sign. That's about thought. It's about breathing. Get out there and breathe some fresh air. When was the last time you stepped outside? My husband would say it's been a while for me, because I I hunker down in my little room here. And
if I'm not going somewhere, you know, and then I work from home, and it's really
easy to
kind of get in that hermit mode of things. Okay, I'm going to throw out some more just because you guys have been so cool to put them on here. We got New Mexico, India, Florida, Idaho, and hello, Larry. Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for throwing all that into the chat room. If you are wondering where they're doing that at, I'm on Facebook at bbsradio.com. Well, BBS Radio on Facebook, or you can go to bbsradio.com to catch us as well. So anyway, okay. So, keeping up with what's next.
Yes.
Okay. So, what I could do is, what I did was I went around the chart. You know, if you're familiar with astrology, there's 12 houses, and each of those houses is where something happens. Mm-hmm. You know, so the first house is a physical body, the second house is money, that kind of thing. So, I actually put a word, and what I did was I did a world chart. So So I didn't just do the chart for me or for, you know, any particular place. It's called a world chart. It starts with Cancer and in the first house, and it's an ancient world chart. So I threw this conjunction up in this world chart, and I picked a word for each house. Some of them are funny. Maybe one or two are funny, but so they're funny to me anyways. So the first house is about the physical body. And this is about this is about this energy that we're feeling. So what I did was I threw the conjunction in there to see how is it going to, you know, come out into our environment. The first body is about, or the first house is about the physical body, how we present ourselves to the world. I put unrealistic, because we've all been sitting eating bonbons, as yes. you have just confessed to.
There were truffles.
Truffles, yes, yes. So I think that we are going to be very unrealistic about what we look like at the end, you know, like when we actually come out of our houses.
So we're trying to button those pants back up.
Exactly, exactly. The second house is about money. And what I got the feeling for money was you need to make a plan that's right for you. So there's going to be all these ideas about how, you know, you're going to survive this, how you're going to come up with your money. But I really think that it's about you sitting down and having a serious look and really saying, you know, how am I going to move forward? Whether that's you getting training for a new job, because we know jobs have all changed. You know, people are working from their homes when they never did before. Maybe you need some computer skills and it's something that you haven't been working on. And you know that as you move into this new way of being, computer skills are going to be important. I mean, that's how we're going to, you know, do a lot of our, for the next foreseeable future. So just look at your how are you going to reinvigorate your own personal economy, you know, your own personal money. So really sit down and make a plan for you that's tangible, that's realistic, and what tools are you going to need to move forward in this new environment. In the third house is about our neighborhood. So that's, you know, you walk out your front door, you've got your community, your neighborhood. And the words that came to me for that was stay structured. So, you know, be diligent, be structured, care for your community, care for your neighbors, be kind to each other. You know, sometimes you go out, you go to the grocery shop and people are, you know, they're struggling. So they're unhappy. And we have to just, it's like, you know, walking in somebody else's shoes, right? You know, you just don't know what they went through that morning. So we just need to care for each other in our community a little more. The fourth house is about our home. So that's, you know, on this side of the door, as opposed to going out the door, it's coming in the door. And it's about harmony. So it's about keeping a healthy, harmonized home, however that feels for you. The fifth house is the house of fun. And all I saw in there was work.
So I know. Wait, fun.
Well, work could be fun, yeah. But I think that there's going to be a little less fun and we're just going to have to hunker into a little more.
I thought
more
we were out of the Capricorn energy.
Well, you never get rid of the Capricorn energy ever, really.
All right.
Okay. The sixth house is about health. And Venus is sitting in that house in this natural chart that I've built. She's in Sagittarius, so she's very optimistic. And that gives me a really good feeling about that, you know, because she brings this really optimistic energy to the collective that, you know, that we are going to find what we need. We are going to find the cure. We're going to be taking care of ourselves, whether that cure is, you know, self or external or whatever it needs to be. Having Venus in Sagittarius in that house gives me lots of hope, you know, for everyone's health, because that's what this has really affected the most, is our health.
If someone that didn't eat a lot of chocolate, that is good news.
Well, Venus does like sweet things. So, you know, you'll have to watch yourself. Maybe that'll be your nemesis with your health.
No, you get another crack of chocolate. I'll just...
You have to be careful.
You'll have to think, do I really want this piece of chocolate? And if you do, then have it.
You know, what's going to be important is to just figure out, you know, a balance. Like maybe what I'll do is eat more strawberries dipped in that chocolate.
And there you go.
We got the balance.
I love that. Yeah, a little bit of fruit.
Chocolate covered strawberries. We'll just add some fruit to it.
Chocolate covered carrots. I mean, whatever it takes, right?
Okay, that one didn't.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Eat healthy. Okay.
So the next one is the house of our personal relationships, whether that's, you know, your other half or your very, you know, close friends, or even, you know, personal business if you're running a business. And it really is about structure. So again, you know, even within our own families, you know, we need to keep diligent. We need to keep structured. And keep working. And the sun is actually in that house. And that gives me great hope as well, because it just means that, you know, shining light on our relationships and really using our relationships as a support system and as structure.
Okay, the audience likes your chocolate-covered carrots.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Whatever works, right?
The thought there is you just put anything. You put chocolate on it, it's okay.
It'll be all right.
Maybe the balance.
Not potatoes, though.
Yeah, that one might not be so good.
That's not gravy, folks.
Yeah, it's chocolate. Oh, my gosh. Where is the actual Saturn-Jupiter conjunction landing in the chart? It actually is landing in long-term finances. Ooh. Yes.
It sounded good the way you said it.
Yes, it is. It really, you know, this is where we're going to be innovative. So changing our economies, getting back on our feet, being ingenious, being, you know, really bringing thought and how we can move forward, leaving those old ideas behind. You know, we have to reconfigure ourselves. We've got to figure it out. So I really love that it's actually in the house of long-term finances. To me, that's the reset button for the world. Oh, and it's not just our economy that's, you know, it's the whole world economy. If we even think about some of the countries that all they run on is travel. This is how they make their money. They're going to have to reconfigure, figure out how they're going to do their reset button. And that might mean that it's safer travel, or that, you know, that we travel a different way, that we're smarter about how we travel. So just, you know, doesn't mean that we're never going to travel again. It just means that we have to figure out how we're going to do it and really, you know, use technology to our advantage. Mm-hmm. Because technology, actually, leading edge technology is related to Aquarius. So this sort of reset button that we have, this conjunction that we have, Saturn rules it because it is Aquarius, but also it has a dual rulership, a co-ruler, which is Uranus. And Uranus is that it's the genius. It's, you know, when you get the download, the inventors that are downloading information and making our lives better, it is radical change, you know. So we get that kind of that reset to utilize those tools that we have at our fingertips.
I got to tell you what's going on in the chat room here.
Okay.
We started it. And
Uh-oh.
So it turns out Trader Joe's does do a chocolate-covered potato chip.
Oh, yes.
Potato chip. Oh, so that would make sense.
The consensus is that they are really good. And so I just wanted to share that because, you know, here we are saying that's not gravy on those mashed potatoes, but apparently it is.
Fantastic.
When it's a chip, it's good.
Yeah, so it's salty and you have your salty and sweet, and that is
okay. And a little crunch.
Okay.
Yeah. I have to say we're all going to have to try that now.
Yes.
So. I know where Tracy's going tomorrow to track down some chocolate covered
chips. I'm going to go outside and get some fresh air so I can go to the store.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. Okay. So the ninth house is, it's about higher learning. It can be structured religion can fall under there. Travel falls under there. And we have a couple of planets in there, Neptune and the moon. Now these, and they're actually in Pisces. Because that's in the natural chart. That's where Pisces falls in the ninth house. There's a couple of things that I do like about that. And one thing that comes to mind or came to mind was that, you know, we must have regular meditation. Mm. We must incorporate that into our daily regime. It's not something that we, you know, just do once in a while. I think that is a staple. And this kind of reinforces that we do need to be connected. And I know you guys especially know that, you know, you guys of all, you know, anybody I would be talking to, you guys understand that. So that to me is definitely, you know, utilizing meditation in order to be connected on all levels and be strong, you know, that strengthens our energy fields and helps us be better human beings. The 10th house is about action. So it's got Mars in there. The 10th house is actually our career. It is how the people see you on sort of that larger social way, in that larger social way. So to have Mars sitting in there really tells me that we cannot sit in our houses on our butt and not do anything, that we do need to, you know, we need to be active. We need to be active in a smart way. And I'll talk about why in a minute. But yeah, action is important. It's going to be really important that we don't just sit and let other people act, as the United States has just gone through a big, you know, realization about action, getting out and voting and, you know, that kind of action. The 11th house is the house about, sorry, the house of society and, you know, how we get together to, and as a community, we can change lives. You know, we can save the whales, save the children, you know, save you know, the animals, whatever it is that we want to save as a community. When we become organized in that social way, we're very powerful. And that is where Uranus is sitting. So I had talked about Uranus also ruling the Aquarius as a co-ruler. And that's where it's sitting. And Uranus right now is in a very tangible sign. It's in Taurus. It has moved into Taurus. It's been there for a while. It's kind of given us a little shakeup in our money as well. That was one of the things that we looked at with money. It's going to be affecting us next year. And when I come back in January, I think if I'm invited back in January to talk about next year, we'll talk about what Uranus is up to, because there's going to be some shakeups. So we want to be prepared for those. But what the skilled version of that will be tangible inventions. So what's a tangible invention? It's something that helps everyone. It's something that is, you know, in our, all of it, like, for instance, this is something that is tangible. We can now communicate around the world. It is having something that makes our lives better, you know, not more complicated, hopefully. Just better. So I think I like that, because I think that for me, it's a sign of breakthrough on a social level. I think that really another thing that, even though we have all been isolated in this last year, that it has made us think about the importance of community, the importance of keeping touch. So even though, you know, you're isolated in your little room, you're doing your work there, you know, this has forced us to recognize how powerful, you know, friendships and relationships and collective work is. And we have to make sure that it's like that, you know, you have friends your whole life. You know, I've moved all over, I've moved from the States and all over Canada, and you have to make an effort to stay in touch with your friends in order to remain friends. You have to make that effort. And that's what this is to me. It's telling us that, yes, we're all in our nice little cocoon, but don't forget to make the effort. Very important. And finally, we do have that 12th house, which can sometimes be known as, well, you know, it can be our direct connection to God. It can be, you know, institutions, hospitals, and it can be, you know, our own, like it's kind of our self-undoing if we're being unskilled. And the self-undoing portion of that is a data overload. So one of the nodes is in there in Gemini. That to me is collecting data, collecting, and not knowing what to do with it. It's just too much data overload. The higher end of that, I think, is breakthroughs in institutions, in the hospitals, you know, being able to have better equipment, you know, to take care of people and, you know, sort of moving forward with that. That's a good way to have data as opposed to data overload in our brains. So that's going through the 12 houses, just to give, you know, an idea of how, how we might see that. But really overall, I am looking forward to it. Now, there was one thing I wanted to talk about. I don't want to run out of time here.
Plenty of time.
And
it's
that
time here.
That's right. Yeah. So the one thing was, I was talking about that Mars. So along with this great conjunction that we're experiencing, Mars is in a direct square to Pluto. And if you remember, Pluto was one of the players that last year that was creating a little bit of havoc. So Pluto can be control, but it's control on a grander scale. It's not like personal. If you try to use personal control, then you'll just fall apart because it's so powerful. It's more collective power. But it's using it in the right way. So when I was saying that we need to action things, we need to be very wise about how we use our collective power, be very thoughtful about how we use our collective power. But don't forget, we do have to, we can't just think it. We can't just sit in our houses and think it. Yeah, we got to get out there and do it. We got to be a doer because Mars is very powerful in this chart. He is in Aries. That's a warrior. It's front line. You know, you want to jump to the front line and make differences, but sometimes you have to step back and think strategic. You know, what is the strategic approach to this? Hmm. So that's my take on some of the energy that's going to roll out from this beautiful, I think it's a beautiful moment where we have Jupiter and Saturn moving into Aquarius, you know, in this kind of position, the first time in 800 years.
It's just mind blowing to even hear that, the first time in 800 years. It just keeps bringing me back to that idea that what a special time to be on the planet where we're experiencing so many things that haven't, you know, all at the same time, the end of the earth signs being in charge to the air signs being in charge, being in that transition, this, what did we call the North Star, the, you know, Bethlehem Star. Yeah. And having all of this stuff happening within our lifetime where we're having all of these experiences and so much is changing and so fast. And the technology, when you were talking about the medical stuff, do you think we'll see a lot of technology around how we heal and cure and, you know, different devices that they're using for that. Do you think we'll see a lot of change in that?
I do, but, you know, also it doesn't have to be necessarily technology. I think another thing that needs to come together, and I'm talking on the right show here, is it's not just about artificial technology. It's also about, you know, energetic healing. Uranus is like a lightning strike. You know, that's kind of its theme. So to me, that very much is that energetic healing as well. And to me, that's what needs to come, that, you know, just leaning on technology is the old way. We need to bring those things together in order to become powerful.
Yeah.
And you're also saying something about the, you know, it's the going within and getting your own, you know, it's like I was getting the visual anyway. You may not have used these exact words, but the visual is like that. We're always saying you're connected, get your own guidance, go to your own thing. And so it's kind of correlating with that, you know.
Absolutely.
Like your own abilities and using them.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's becoming a whole being, not just half or fragmented, we'll say. It's pulling that all together. And that is one thing that I will talk about again in January when we look at the year. But it's this, you know, the solstice is the time when I look at my goals. So I don't review my goals January 1. I actually review them on the solstice because it's a powerful, powerful time. And to me, you know, To me, the January 1 thing for goal setting is a little more, I don't know what you call that, you know, where you just make a quick decision. I like to think about the planning. I like to envision, you know, that makes us powerful in if we have that really strong vision. That was one of the things that I did want to say is I think it's important that we think about how we want our lives to look.
Yeah.
You know, and hold on to that vision so that you can walk into it. Use that Aries energy to actually move into our vision, not get swept away, you know, in the currents of fear, but to use that as a strength. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good way for people to clear that fear, because it's definitely coming up in the show where you could see how people could fall into that stream and kind of get caught up in it. So what's a good way for people to work through that?
Meditation every day, going within, trusting your own truth meter, you know, really, you know, using all parts of yourself, not fragmenting and allowing, you know, fear to kind of smash you apart. And that's why I was saying, you know, make your own plan, whether that's finances, whether that's how you're going to move forward in a job, and really like doing it. Don't just, you know, the thing that you just can't think in a negative way. You have to think positive. You've got to, you know, not Pollyanna positive. I'm talking about making tangible plan. No, you know, not looking at it in that way that, you know, that you're not going to be able to succeed, but making a success plan for yourself. That's smart. You know, that's smart thinking.
Yeah.
And you know, this grand conjunction, it is Saturn. He's in a very powerful position. He actually rules the sign of Aquarius as a co-ruler with Uranus. It's Jupiter in Aquarius, but the Sun, Mercury, and Pluto are all in Capricorn. So you still have that real tangible energy, that real focused manifesting energy. That's what I love about Capricorn. You know, you take two pennies and, you know, you pay your $1 million debt with that. You know, the Capricorns just have that thing about them that they can draw towards themselves, what they need in order to succeed. It's that grounding of energy. And, you know, tangible or manifested energy is very slow. So Saturn slows the energy down. If your energy is going to be slow and methodical, you have to be very focused. Otherwise, you know, you just don't manifest anything.
I really was relating to this part.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And you know, like you said, with the fear though, don't let other people, you know, get you all riled up and fearful. You've really got to pull into that truth meter and go, is this really the truth? For me, everybody has their own truth. That's the other thing. You know, everybody has their own truth. And that's why we all need a truth meter.
Right.
And we all have one.
We do. Every single person has a truth meter. All you have to do is just listen, feel. The body will tell you what's going on. You know, when I hear something that I need to know about or I need to pay attention, you get those little kind of like bubbles going through your body. It's like, listen, 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 listen.
Yeah.
So use that.
Yeah. Yeah. That does seem like a theme lately too, where I'm hearing in my head, you know, go within, not outside sources, whatever, because you're going to hear, you're going to manifest hearing everything, every version of it, you know, and when we want to create something, we're going to migrate to that thing that's going to support us in that anyways. Right.
So absolutely.
Trust that inner compass. I like that. Yeah. It's a good message today. Going inside.
The inside voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for the one that's like, not that one.
Not that one. That's what meditation is for, to let that one go. We don't need that. We can let all of that go, all of the mind grind, you know. It is about data, and it is, that's the other thing is that, even though we are inundated with data, we do have a data overload, but it is important to, you know, cast a wide net, to not be so close-minded that we can't think of other, you know, that there might be other possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good too. Yeah.
Put it out there, but then you discern what's right for you. And then go from there. But yeah, if you're just like, I agree. If you're just keeping it like this, then you've got a very narrow scope of what you're even exposing yourself to. So, you know, you will never know. And it's like, this is my truth. This is only my truth.
Yeah.
Got my blinders on. I'm not going to see anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Being open to other possibilities.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know where I read this, but that I was reading something where it was saying that this is also a time where the heart chakras will start to open. Do you know anything about that? Or is that just kind of more of a metaphysical thought?
I think that's more metaphysical. Yeah. But I love an open heart, so that's okay. I'll go with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. But yeah, that was one of the things I was hearing about, the Aquarius energy is, And I can't remember, it was in a session, Master Kathumi came through. And so I was like, Master Kathumi, who's that? So I go Google that. And I think that's where I was reading that the Aquarian energy is about the opening of the heart. And Master Kathumi was the one to assist with that. So somewhere, someone must have needed to hear that, because that just totally all just was like, hey, talk about that. So there you go. Master Kathumi. Bring him in, open heart chakra, play in that energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially on the 21st when you're outside looking at the sky for that bright light.
Breathing in the fresh air. Yes.
Yeah. On your way even to get covered chips.
To get your chocolate covered chips. So even
find them now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't know if we have them in Canada. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm going
to find a spot.
We must
have them here somewhere.
Yeah. It's got to happen. There's a lot of Canada. So I'm sure that there's chocolate covered chips there.
There probably is, for sure. So remember, even if you can't, even if you have a covered sky with clouds, get out there and stand in that energy anyways. And know that we are all, you know, it's kind of that thing, like, what time should I go out there? It doesn't matter, because, you know, we all can manifest at the same time. Time is, you know, is irrelevant, really, in that sense. And if you think about the human life and the length of the human life, it's a blip, mm-hmm. you know, so we can all stand in that same blip and get that energy from that wonderful, and it will go on for a few days. It's already getting closer and closer. So if you were, you know, if you have a clear night tonight and you can go out and stand out there and look and see it, you'll see that those two planets are starting to get, you know, come together, and then they'll stay there for a while. Yeah. Just got to go check it out. And then they'll stay there for a while.
What are we doing here? Let's go outside.
That's everybody's weekend assignment. Yeah. Go do it. Go watch this happen. Watch this event. This is in a lifetime event.
Yes. And actually, it's
in the chat room. I got to say this. She's in the chat room. She says, well, the Milky Way blocked my view. And I think that's, she's saying it jokingly, but Therese, yes, it will. Just yours, though.
Yes.
It's going to block your view, but no one else's.
Yes. Geez, if she can see the Milky Way, she's a lucky girl.
Already lucky girl. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. If you can see the Milky Way.
Get in the chat room and just brag about her Milky Way.
Yeah. For sure. I can't see the Milky Way where I'm at. I mean, I can go and drive and see it, but where I'm at here, you know, there's just too much city light to be able to see that. But even with city light, you will be able to see it. Can you see the Milky Way? Yeah.
You got to be in the country. I mean, there's no light here.
Yeah.
It's, you have beautiful stars, and that's,
yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Nice. So,
I love you, Cameron. Cool. I got to go somewhere else to see it, but sounds like we're heading to Julia's, actually.
Come on. Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we watch the stars.
Yeah. So that might be the other thing, that when we all do go out, like, let's all move through time and space to be together in that moment. You know, if we think that, and that we're all standing there in that moment, what a wonderful energetic powerhouse will be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just got was cool.
Mm-mm. I like that.
Well, so, Tamara, before we do run out of time, can you tell everybody how to find you, or how to, you know, if they want to contact you, or, you know, what's?
I do have a website.
Do you do readings? Do you do astrology?
I do. I do astrology. I teach astrology as well. Yeah. I have a website called navigatingthestars.ca. Navigatingthestars.ca. And that's how you'll find me. Or if you want to get in contact with me, it's just astro@tamara.ca. So that's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because what's really cool is to know, like, I've used a world chart, but this is also very personal. So it you know, where is this in your chart? You know, that's,
we want to
know. What's that?
I said, we want to know. Especially with all that stuff going out of Capricorn now. Is that going to be good?
Yes.
It's
yes.
To know how to function.
Yeah.
Element.
I know. It'll be like all this pressure. Where'd it go? But
You've had a lot of, the Capricorns have had a lot of pressure over these last few years, really, because, you know, I mean, Pluto's been sitting in there for several years, and Saturn is 2 and Jupiter is 1. So you do have a lot of pressure on the Capricorns, and, you know, not just the Capricorns, it does affect other signs as well. So, but yeah, for sure, you know, going over your sun, for sure, your own, you know, your, the sun, the solar sun of your chart.
So we all have all the signs in our chart, right?
We do.
Yeah. So, okay. So it depends on where you're, like, for Julia, it would depend on where the Capricorn is in her chart, where that's going to affect her.
I'd say my moon is in Capricorn. So it's like, it's really close there.
Yeah. So you need a massage after all this too. You need a spa day.
I think we should all go do that.
I agree. Spa day would be good.
With our chocolate chips, or chocolate.
Yes.
Ooh, maybe that's where chocolate chips came from.
Spa day?
Spa days, yes.
Our chocolate covered chips.
Now, we are having Tamara back on, what is it, January 8th, I believe, right?
Yes. I'm excited.
She's going to talk to us about 2021. Yes. And what we expect, and we'll be very prepared with our chocolate chips, right?
Yes. and our experience of the solstice, of the solstice. Let's bring that together and see how we all felt and notice how we feel. Let's all take that moment and notice how we feel as this incredible moment happens.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Right. Be aware, stay aware, take note.
So we all have homework.
Yes. We all have. First it's to go outside. Over the weekend, every day.
Yeah. So January 8th, everybody, plan to be back here on January 8th. We're gonna review the solstice. And then we'll move into 2021.
Yes.
Very good.
I put the website on the BBS Facebook page on the chat in there. If you guys didn't hear it, again, it is navigatingthestars.ca. And that will get you Tamara and her services, right? They can find your services there. Perfect.
They sure can. Yeah.
Now we're gonna double team Julia. Julia, tell us about Soul Speak and UHP and how do people become practitioners and
okay. Just very quickly, because this is completely shifted over here, but it is about how you are getting more in alignment and going within and your own guidance system, all of everything we do here. So if you want to be a QHHT practitioner, which is what Dolores Cannon developed and created and used to get all her wonderful information for her 19 books so far. And so anyway, that you can go to QHHTofficial.com and you can get all the information on the courses. We have level 1, level 2, level 3. So if you wanted to start up, we have it online. You can do it at your own pace and you can learn to do this wonderful technique to explore human consciousness, explore history, explore everything, you know, help people to understand where they're coming from, who they really are. I mean, it's just wonderful. And it also can bring instantaneous healing. So that's very, very cool. Also, I have my course online now at Soul Speak, the language of your body. So there again, like Tamara was saying, it's listening to your body. It's the body has lots to say. So if you will just listen, and that's where I wrote the book on it. And then now I've created the online course where it gives even more information. But it's basically everything Tamara was saying. It's just about learning how to listen and understand the language of your body.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Wonderful book. Everyone needs one.
Cannon.com. You can get the course. You can go to Amazon.com or Ozark Mountain, OzarkMT.com to get the book.
And, yay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right. So.
All right.
Tracy, how can we, find you, Tracy?
You guys can find me at TracyMahan.com or just go to the QHHTofficial.com and I'm there as under Find a Practitioner. So I'm there and I'm in Oregon for anyone that is wanting that location as well. QHHT is in person. So I am in Oregon. And if you live in Oregon or want to travel there, contact me. We'll set it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, this has been fantastic, Tamara. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Can't wait until January now.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. go see the skies. So anyway, and I'm really, really looking forward to you being back on the 8th.
Thanks, guys.
See what's going on.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for being with us.
Yeah, there's lots of hearts flying across the page right now.
Wonderful.
Everybody. And look forward to seeing you guys. Oh, yeah, we won't have a show again until the 8th. So
until the 8th, right.
So, yeah, you guys are on Christmas and New Year's break.
Yeah, exactly. So happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Whatever
holiday you're doing, and happy New Year. And we will see you next year.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.